BDNG podcast. My name is Tina McKenzie and I am the Education Development Lead for the BDNG. I hope you enjoy listening to the BDNG podcast and find them beneficial to your practice. These podcasts are sponsored by Amaril. Amaril has no influence over the content of these podcasts. Happy listening!
Hello everyone and welcome to the BDNG podcast. I am joined today with Emma Sparrow, who works for the Royal College of Paediatric and Child Health. Emma, can you just introduce yourself and maybe tell us a little bit about your role with the Royal College?
Sure. Thanks for having me, Molly, and hi everyone who's listening. Yeah, so my name's Emma and my background is actually as a community development and youth worker, so that's my qualification. And at the Royal College of Paediatrics and Child Health, I'm the head of Children, Young People's Engagement. So what that means for our organisation is that we work really, really hard to make sure that children, young people are really actively involved in the work of the college, our priorities, our policy asks, our support of our members, so paediatricians and allied health professionals. And that's kind of what my team then works on is how we get them involved, how we do it in a way which is really meaningful and appropriate to them. But also, I guess, as a college, not everybody knows what we do or kind of like what our function is. So we are a charity. We're a membership charity and we're there to make sure that we're able to really kind of like support our paediatricians who go through our curriculum, who do our exams, who then stay with us through their career. But also because we're paediatrics and child health, that also extends to making sure that we're doing campaigning, advocacy, lobbying for all elements of what helps to keep children and people healthy, happy and well. And that includes things like, you know, standards of care and guidelines of practice that might be in hospitals or different services. It also is around bringing people together to learn and share across different disciplines and backgrounds and, you know, creating a kind of centre, I guess, for understanding what's going on for children and people in their health and then bringing people together to try and, you know, make as many improvements as possible, but also doing that domestically and internationally because we've got some global development programs and also run exams in lots of different countries and have international members. So yeah, as an organization, it's really interesting. So then being the head of Children, Young People's Engagement means there's lots of different opportunities that children and people can get involved to have influence and have an impact.
Wow, so it sounds like the college does quite a lot, which you've described.
Yeah,
are nurses huge involved in the child? Yeah, and how are they kind of involved? Is it with these kind of groups that you're putting together with the engagement projects and things like that?
Yeah, I mean, across the college, it will be in different places that nurses are involved. So we will have some nurses who are members of the college. And we will have nurses that sit on different college committees or working groups or provide their expertise through some of the learning courses that are put on for paediatricians and kind of like health professionals. Certainly within the engagement side, we have quite close relationships with some specialist nurses that support then some of our projects. So just thinking about our epilepsy project, which is Epilepsy 12 Youth Advocates, they're young people with lived experience of epilepsy, or they might be sibling carers of kind of like children, young people in their family that have got epilepsy, or they're children, young people that are just interested in learning and making a difference. They come together to then support the National Audit Programme by, you know, looking at the data that's coming out of different units against a whole series of metrics and then creating their own quality improvement programs. So we have a specialist nurse then that joins the group, supports the group, works with the children and young people and provides their expertise around, you know, questions that might need answering around medicines or around transition or around how services work together. Or, you know, just also, you know, being someone in the group that can add some understanding around what children and people might be going through because they've supported children and people in their clinic time. So, yeah, nurses are definitely part of our, you know, kind of multidisciplinary approach in the engagement side and also for the wider college as well.
And for you, I know as much as it might be your role and your job, but why is it important to engage with children and young people? Why is it so important to get their thoughts and their input?
It's such a good question because it's so multi-layered. I think for me personally, you know, I was volunteering as a young person locally to, you know, make a difference and to support other people in my community. And I just really got a sense of how much that gave to me in terms of skills, experiences, friends, opportunities, a sense of accomplishment. And for me personally, that's what I want to make sure that other children and young people get the opportunity to have, to have chance, particularly in health, to have, you know, their agency back and to be able to be equal partners, or, you know, to be seen as experts by experience, and then to contribute something that in some cases has taken so much from them, and where, you know, they don't always feel like they've got the control over their condition or their experience, or, you know, how it impacts on their day-to-day life. On a more kind of like theory-based side, it's a children's right to be involved. So we run a rights-based approach team, which means that we're following the United Nations Convention of the Rights of the Child, which was written in 1989 by, I think, 5 countries in the world came together to make sure that children and people were, you know, respected, that they had the right access to services and the right provision available for them, but also fundamentally that they were protected as children and people and given the chance to participate. So there's a right of the child, which is Article 12, that says they have the right to be involved individually and collectively in the decisions that affect them. So that kind of is the premise then of why engagement matters to us as a team, but also the Royal College. And why we do kind of like podcasts or training sessions or support organisations to understand those rights of the child and to think about actually how can their voice have an impact on decisions that affect them? What does that look like as a group? So collectively. And also Article 24 is the right to have the best health and health care possible. So then linking that up together and think about how can they contribute to designing services or evaluating services, or, you know, sharing how services could adapt to meet their needs, particularly when so much of the world changes in different points. So, you know, COVID has had a big impact on how services are delivered. So for us, it's kind of like a rights-based approach that really lands why this matters to us as an organisation.
And I think, you know, as you say, it gives, you know, these conditions like eczema, psoriasis, alopecia, it almost takes over that child's life and maybe their identity. They can't feel like they can be a child. They feel like maybe, oh, this is who I am. But it gives them that voice to maybe get across what's important to them. How does the Royal College go about kind of doing their projects? What projects do you do?
Yeah, so and you're so right about what you just said about children and people that have got those kind of conditions. And, you know, we hear that a lot. So we have had children and people as part of our volunteer group who have got kind of like psoriasis, have got eczema, have got alopecia. And, you know, they do say exactly what you said, that, it, you know, they start to not be seen as a child or young person. They start to be seen as their condition. And, you know, their biggest request of us, but also services around them, is to see them as the child or young person as a whole. And that's kind of then the way that we try to work in the way that we deliver engagement. We have there's a kind of like a couple of different parts to how we deliver. So one part is rights-based, obviously, which says that when children and people are engaging with us, they're doing it as volunteers, so they're not getting paid. We do cover their expenses. We do offer training, progression routes, you know, thank yous, all those kind of things. But they're volunteers, so they don't get paid. So what we need to make sure is that a third of everything we do is fun, developmental, gives them opportunities to be with peers. And that's because that's their Article 31 right to, you know, rest, relax and play, but also have opportunities which are social. So we make sure that all of our groups or our interactions, you know, have that kind of like fun element. Then a third of what we do has to be their Article 12 right. So where they're able to say what matters to them, and they influence by telling us their priorities or their experiences or the things that they'd like us to work on. And that could be done through, you know, outreach where we're out and about in clinics or communities talking to people. And again, we do that all ages. So our programme kind of, the youngest we've had in the last couple of years has been 3, all the way up to 25. And we go to see them where they're at. So lots of schools, youth clubs, street outreach, going into hospitals. And then a third is the Article 24 bit about having the best health care and health services possible. So that's where we'll bring in agenda items or priorities and have, you know, their views on it. So it becomes a bit of a shared kind of space, which is really lovely. The way that kind of then looks, like you said, about projects in practice then is we might set up projects on topics that have been requested by children and people. It might be that we're funded to look at certain things. It might be that something comes out of nowhere and we adapt and flex really quickly to make sure that children and people can be heavily involved. So I mentioned already Epilepsy 12. We've got a couple of different national audit projects where we run the engagement for them on asthma, diabetes, epilepsy, and have just started with neonatology. We also, for something that kind of came out of nowhere, was when the government launched their biggest ever public conversation on the NHS, so Change NHS last year, which helped to inform the 10-year plan in England. What we recognised in that was we wanted to make sure children and people could be involved. So we did a big street outreach programme to speak to over 2,000 children and people in England and then ran it again in the nation. So we've got a UK voice. And then our children and people have gone through that. So some of it is regular project work. Some of it comes out of nowhere. Some of it might pop up. But, you know, any one time there's kind of about 15 different projects or programmes running, and each year we tend to work with about 4,000 children and people across the UK.
Yeah, so that's captures quite a wide range of ages, all the way up to 25. I think most people would say, oh, a young person, you know, it's 19 and then they are in the adult clinic. So that's really good, you're getting that wide range of experiences across the country. One of the projects that I think you had signposted me to, which I thought was really interesting, was the Worried in Waiting project, about the ongoing kind of waits that children are experiencing getting into secondary care or getting into clinics and things like that, which I think a lot of dermatology nurses can sympathise with. How did that kind of project, what are your thoughts on that project?
Yeah, so because we're, you know, predominantly UK-wide at the Royal College, we have nation offices that work out of Northern Ireland, Wales and Scotland. And then we have a health policy team that covers England as well as looking at some of the UK-wide aspects. And this, the kind of challenge around waiting lists really started for us in some of the data that was coming out of the nation teams. And what they wanted to do was to find out from the members, so they surveyed kind of like paediatricians, but then also from children and people in the nations, actually what's their experience? What do they think is some of the things that could be changed to improve waiting times, or what are some of their concerns? So we took that out across the kind of like different three nation areas by doing roadshows. So that's where we went into, as I said earlier, you know, we did clinic chats in hospitals, we went and did school sessions, we spoke to children and people out and about and asked them to just think about, you know, what are the key things that they would want to know if they were being offered some treatment and there might be a wait to come up to before they got that. And we had to think really carefully, because what we always have to do in our work is try and be asset focused. So we don't want to be speaking to children and people about things not working, or, you know, reinforcing messages that they might hear elsewhere that actually, you know, there's system failures or there's, you know, blockages, or because we don't want, as children and people, for them to feel like actually their care is at risk. But what we do want to do then is to give them the opportunity to look at some of those tricky issues with us and to come up with solutions. So we had to think quite carefully about how we were phrasing about, you know, like waiting lists. So we did talk about, you know, what would help when you are waiting for care or being transferred for care, or what kind of things would you like to see. And they came up with like their own prescriptions then of what would be useful. And you know, it's things that we would all really love people to know. So they want to have regular contact. They want to feel like they've not been forgotten. They want to understand how long the wait might be. And, you know, if it is a long time, for people to be honest about that. They want to have really good signposting information so that they can do some self-care along the way, and for that to include mental health alongside any physical health conditions. Because as you've mentioned, you know, it can feel sometimes like your identity gets swamped by the condition, and actually that can start to affect your emotional health and well-being. So we then worked, once we'd done all the road shows and captured lots of data, we had children and young people in each of the nations then review that with us to try and pull out what were kind of the top tips or the top elements. And then they worked out how they wanted to share that at parliamentary launch events to members of parliament across the three nations. And then, you know, what kind of things they wanted to go into the reports that I think you mentioned. And it was, you know, across each of the nations, there were some common areas and there were some things that were slightly different. But, you know, what came out from all of it is that it's about communication. That's the thing that can make them feel anxious if they're not getting any, or the thing that can actually turn their day around if someone, you know, keeps them updated about what's happening and gives them some tips in the meantime. So it was a really interesting project because it kind of, you know, came from data telling us that there's waiting time issues. Worked with our team then to work out how to take that out in a really safe and supportive way for children and people to engage in it, but then brought children and people back into the kind of like round to then look at the data with us. So we try really hard, you know, to keep them involved at all stages, and, you know, for them to then own what the message is collectively, as is their kind of like Article 12 right. So yeah, it was a really interesting project, and you can see the reports online, but also we can, you know, share some links to some of the kind of like posters that the young people came up with for those events to share what mattered to them about communication or support or signposting, like I mentioned.
I think one of the main things that's coming out of your work, especially about the engagement, is about that communication and about communicating with that child and young person and involving potentially their carers or parents in that conversation as well. How do people find out? Is it just that you suddenly pop up into a clinic and get patients to come and talk to you? Is it online? How do people kind of get involved initially with these projects?
Yeah, there's two different main ways, I guess. One is that we do just pop up, like you say, and, you know, we get really good really good relationships with different organisations, so whether it's charities or hospitals or schools or youth clubs, and then start to attend some of their sessions and their fairs and their CLAPS curriculum days to run sessions in school, which means then that, you know, they see us there, and some of them then might get in touch, and every view and every minute counts. So everything they've told us that day or in that 5-minute chat, we will try and use 3 or 4 times to make sure we're absolutely amplifying what children and people say. But equally, they might then say that they want to be a volunteer and do something more than those kind of like one-off sessions. At that point, then they get in touch with RCPCH and us, which could be through social media. We're quite active on Instagram, but also some of the other social media sites. It could be through our website, which is www.rcpch.us. which is facing towards children and young people. We've also got information on the college website, which is more for professionals to pass on. And then, you know, they come through to one of the team who will then have a chat with them about what they're interested in. They can join a taster session online or in person. They can join a particular project. We always try to make sure that our projects are really mixed, so you don't have to have the specific condition or experience. You know, everybody's got something that they can add to the mix. And and then they just start, you know, volunteering. But what we're keen to do is really acknowledge and recognise that if they have got health conditions, or maybe they're facing other health inequalities, it's not always as easy for them to stay in touch and come to a full meeting, for example. So we really try where possible to value any time they give us. So if we're running a 2-hour online session, but they can only come for the first 45 minutes, that's great, because, you know, we'd rather they're there, they get to hear what's going on, share some ideas, be with their peers, and take part, than say, because you can't come for the whole thing, that actually, you know, maybe you should miss this one. So we're really keen to be as flexible around their health needs and everything else that's going on as possible. But yeah, lots of different ways that volunteering might look like in the end. Could be a micro session, could be a one day workshop, could be an evening online, could be a Saturday. But yeah, there's so many different ways that they can stay involved.
You mentioned a little bit about some of the tools or the resources that these young people have developed, like the Epilepsy Plus 12 and some of the Worried and Waiting posters that these young people and children have come up with. If, for example, let's say I was, and I am a nurse, but let's say I was thinking, oh, I want to do something that maybe might improve the care and involve children and young people in improving my area or the local service that I'm providing with my colleagues, what kind of tools and resources do you guys have?
Oh, there's so many. The children and people over the years have just made some incredible resources. So I think we've probably got over about 150 now that all sit on the RCPCH website, which is rcpch.ac.uk. And yeah, I think what have we got that would be really useful? So there's information that's just come out from children and people called Voice of the Nation, which summarizes all of those roadshows that have kind of taken place over the last 12 months, where we've worked with about 3,000 odd children and people in all different places, really diverse communities, different ages, backgrounds and experiences, to find out what do they need or want from NHS services and what do they need or want from NHS staff. And the Voice of the Nation report then has had young people that have looked at the findings with us, worked out what the priorities are, and then looked at actually how they can turn those into, you know, kind of areas or topics for people to consider in their own work and their own practice. And there's four priority areas, but one of the things that they've done, which is really clever in their report, is they've created a, you know, like a summary report, and when you open it up, it's a poster that also has like a little checklist for staff that are working in areas to think about, you know, how are they supporting voice and rights? Are they developing? Are they evolving? Have they mastered it? Is there any actions for them to do? How are they helping children and people to access healthcare? Is it because like 95% of children and people said they wanted to make sure there was equal access for all, no matter what your background is. So then there's a space for, you know, like teams to think about, maybe we need to get some more help from the learning disability service and have some communication aids or social stories created for our specific cohort around, you know, what we're trying to support them with. So Voice of the Nation is a really good example then of something that works for all backgrounds, all specialisms, says what matters to children and people, and then has this kind of, you know, like quick checklist that, you know, can help guide some conversations in team meetings to think about what's next. We've also got some of the transferable stuff then. So in epilepsy again, we've just completed a project over a year, which has been looking at how can you have impact and influence within your services if you involve children and people and families. And there's a whole load of resources. So communication cards that you can use in clinic, through to case studies from services about actually how they went from asking what matters to involving to then changing things together. And there's, you know, there's information about children's rights there as well. So some of the stuff we do is kind of like standalone. Some of it might be epilepsy, but actually all transfers out to other areas, and there's toolkits. Or there's still a brilliant project that I love from years ago, where we worked with 30 children and people in care, who were quite young. They were kind of like primary school, early secondary, and they were, you know, looking at how hard it can be when you go to a clinic and people ask you how you feel, because there's so many feelings sometimes going on about your background, about your life, about your health. So they, you know, created just a really lovely emoji poster, which, you know, is hand-drawn pictures of different feelings, and then on the other side space for you to write or draw if one doesn't kind of fit where you are. So having that online for clinics to download and put up or use as a tool, there's such a range. as well as having, you know, kind of like learning support for people wanting to learn about how to do engagement, we've got a free online module that people can do that's got some videos and inserts from Children Young People. And you can also listen to their podcast. And there's a couple of episodes that they've created that talk about what matters to them, how you go beyond clinical to looking at them as individuals, about what it's like when you're working on climate change and eco-distress and the impact on health, particularly where we've got lots of single-use plastics within our kind of like medicines, or about engagement from their point of view. So there's such a range there, Molly. Sorry, I just rambled on a bit about lots of different tools.
I think that's great because we've got, you know, it might be that our listeners might be working in general practice. It might be that they're working in a, you know, maybe they're working in a very small outpatient center that they are on their own of their own clinic. It might be that they're in a really big, massive, huge dermatology department. So you've got a range of different people working with all sorts of different things. So I think if there are resources which you can go, well, this isn't necessarily, you know, eczema specific or alopecia specific, but it has things that I could use that might help me. I think that's really great. And also I think having it developed by the children and young people themselves is really important in the sense of that it helps us know that these resources have had that thought in mind. They've been thinking about, okay, what is the child appropriate way to do this thing? What do you think is the next project that you're going to be working on? It sounds like there are multiple, but maybe just pick one of the next projects that you might be working on to tell our listeners about.
Yeah, so to be cheeky, there's three, because we've got kind of like three different parts of our service. So one specifically for Children Young People is we'll be running our first youth conference next year that we've got young people currently planning at the moment. And that's because for RCPCH and us, it's been around for 10 years now, worked with about 17,500 Children Young People. So over the birthday year, we're doing lots of different things to kind of set us up for the next 10 years. And in May next year, May 26, in Birmingham, we'll be having a youth conference as part of the RCPCH National Conference, which is really exciting. So there'll be Children Young People coming from different clinics, from youth forums, hospital schools, local communities, to, you know, take part in some workshops, activities with our paediatricians and nurses that are attending. And, you know, to look at some of the topics that are important to them. So that's really exciting as a bit of a first for us coming up. For organisations, we've been working for the last year on some engagement standards that have all been, you know, shared in the way they've been developed with Children, Young People, families, paediatricians, nurses, youth workers, community workers, all charities. And they'll be coming out hopefully towards the end of the year, and they'll kind of set down actually what are the five standards that you need to think through if you're going to bring Children and People together to do some engagement on service shaping. And then there's some resources that go behind that to give you the detail, checklists, how-to guides, a self-assessment framework. So again, that's really exciting for the next year. But also another bit that we're just working on at the moment is trying to create a qualification for young people who have got health needs, who actually don't always get the chance to, you know, be in school as much and might be feeling like that they're not achieving because their condition takes them out of school because they're unwell. And the qualification then hopefully will look at what experiences and skills that they're getting through volunteering in programs like ours, but with other people's hospital youth forums or condition-based action groups or quality improvement programs. And so that'll be really interesting to see how that develops over the next year as well.
That sounds amazing, Emma. That sounds really good. I think having young people directly talking and directly interacting with clinicians, paediatricians, nurses, whoever, I always find when we hear from our young people at conference or in study days, I always find it very powerful, and I go away thinking about it and reflecting about it for weeks and weeks after same. I've heard their stories and their experiences, because I just think that these young people are incredible. I definitely would not have the cojones to be getting up on a stage in front of, you know, 20 people and saying about my skin condition or about my health or just talking about me in general. That would, I would not be, as a young person, I think I would have found that very difficult. So I have a lot of admiration for these young people.
Yeah, there's so much we can learn from them. And they're so giving in, you know, wanting to help and wanting to support each other and us and the services as well. So yeah, totally agree. If you get them involved, they come up with the best ideas. They are really practical as well about the small things that can make the biggest difference. And yeah, I think that sometimes we just need to be flexible in the way that we make space for them to be part of our team in services. So yeah, it's nice that you've had some of those experiences as well.
For our listeners, how do they find information, like you've mentioned, about the tools, resources, about the projects that you do? How do they find that information?
Yeah, so if you've got children and young people that might be interested in getting involved in doing something different, then they can look at the Children and Young People's website, which is www.rcpch.us. If you are a professional looking to find out more about the college but also access some of those tools and resources, then you'd go to rcpch.ac.uk, and then along the top there's, you know, kind of like a bar that tells you like the work we do and the resources. If you go into the resources section, then there's a bit called Engaging Children and People, and you can start to pull up some of our resources there. But you can always get in touch with us and drop us an email. We do have kind of like some time where we're able to do information, advice and guidance. So if you're looking to, you know, get started and you don't know where to look, then you can drop us an email and we can send you a little bit of a curated list of where to go. And that email address is and_us@rcpch.ac.uk. But I'll send you a couple of links to add in along with the kind of like show notes, if that's possible. And then we can connect people that way. Also on social media at @rcpch_and_us.
Thank you so much, Emma. Thank you for joining us. It was a pleasure listening to you, and maybe see you around if you ever pop up into any of our clinics to talk to our young people.
Yeah, that would be great. If anybody wants us to pop in, we're always looking for other places to go. So yeah, definitely get in touch. But thanks for looking at this topic and giving us the time to kind of share what we're doing.
Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. For further information on the BDNG, visit our website, bdng.org.uk, and watch out for the next BDNG podcast, which is coming soon.